Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful you could be with me on this 13th day of November 2021. We're going to be looking at lying. None of us want to think of ourselves as lying, but we all lie. I've lied. Everybody's lied at one time or another. And the reason we often do it seems noble to us in some way or another. But actually, you know, what we're doing is we're trying to protect someone or something in our life that we don't want others to know, or we want to change the atmosphere. We want to change the conversation to something else, blah, blah. Everybody lies. We have all had this lie that we have even lived, and we don't want to admit that we are living a lie based on the way we conduct ourselves and what we try to hide from others, low self-esteem being one of the greatest lies of human beings. We don't want people to know how little we feel, how unworthy we do feel. And in that unworthiness that is the lie of our life, basically, we try to cover it up, making ourselves look like we're infallible, that we're absolute, that we do nothing but speak the truth. And that is just not true. We don't have that kind of mental acuity. If you have any sense of pride within you, and we all do to a certain degree, it depends on the degree that we allow it to happen, we will have a sense of pride and a sense of lying. We will have to lie because our pride up against somebody else's ability to be more proud of what they are and do and say is a real threat to our ego, a real threat to our idea of self. And we each hold a self inside of us that is absolutely the best we can think of as far as being who we are. This self that we have within us is to appear to be right, moral, good, great even. And that's kind of where we go. Let's go to the questions. The first questions that I've had on this came about 4 months ago. And then they started piling up as they were. And I think it has to do with politicians and lies that politicians and governors do and all of that other stuff. As long as we need people to govern us, which we do, we will have politicians who will lie to us. And that is just a fact of our own life. First question comes from Craig. He does not tell me where he lives. Do we all really lie, or is it how we view the truth or the facts of life? I'm not sure that I lie. I think I just see things differently, Craig. Craig, I don't know you, you know? I don't. So I can't comment on you. But I can comment on myself and other people that I have known, my students. And I can say it is accurate to say that we do lie. And sometimes we lie in the sense of fortifying and preserving, defending our mental acuity, our position. And this position has to do with our identity, and nothing frightens a person more than having an identity that is difficult, an identity that is fragile, shall we say. If you have a fragile identity, then you will never question what it is you're thinking, saying, and doing. And so, you know, you won't know you're lying. You will just see things from the point of view that you have, the genetic point of view. But then again, there's a part of us that should be suspicious about any conclusion that we ever come to. If I am not suspicious of my conclusions of how I do things, then there is a very good chance that I am lying to myself. The lies I have told to other people in order not to hurt them, and that's really what it's all about for a lot of us, we lie because we don't want to hurt other people, doesn't always serve well. And sometimes, actually, what people don't know won't hurt them because they just don't have the mental acuity to really understand the bigger picture of any given situation they might want the truth about. I mean, I've had people say, if I knew the truth a few years ago about what was lied to me, I might have had a different opinion, or I might have done things differently. And then others will say to me in the counseling room, as it were, I'm grateful I didn't know what was really going on because I couldn't have handled it. So you have these two conflicting points of view, and it means you should know your audience. I figure knowing my audience, the people that I'm talking to, and knowing how they will use anything they can against or for whatever position they're taking within themselves through their logic and reasoning is an iffy project. But it is better, in my opinion, after all these years, just to tell the bloomin' truth. But the problem with that is the question, is it the truth or is it my conjecture, my genetic conjecture, my judgment, my opinion, my assumption? Now, that's where it gets tricky. And before you say something, you have to have it very well realized inside yourself as to what you're saying and whether or not it's going to be misleading. So for me, at the tender age of 70 of where I'm at, and I've heard this from a lot of people, you learn through the years, what the heck, really. What the heck? Tell the truth. And if it hurts a person, it hurts them. But I have to ask myself something different. Is this going to help them? Is this going to be useful to them? I often lie in the sense that I don't tell everybody everything I know. That's, you know, what I do. I don't tell people that aren't ready for whatever it is that they would like to know and would turn into something terrible. I just don't say anything. It's the omission, the lie of omission that I'm very guilty of. I don't tell people everything because it would just send them into a turmoil. You have to, in my opinion, when you're working with people, give them what they can take and then help them stretch it a little further, what they can take, and a little further until the truth becomes obvious. And when a truth becomes obvious, then you've done something extremely beautiful. Then you don't have to tell the truth or you don't have to lie. You bring about the efficiency of the obvious. And the obvious would be enough. And there's no need for a lie. So I don't go into lying. I don't deceive. I don't do things like that. But I don't tell you everything I know because it just wouldn't serve you well yet. But when that time comes and you really want to know the way, the truth, the light, you really want to know the heart, the soul, then you will already know the truth. And no one will have to lie or conceal from you. You will already know. And then you can speak frankly and be honest about everything. And that makes a huge difference in the course of a person's life. Huge. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Kathy in Missouri, she says, are there such things as good lies? And are you telling us everything you know, or are you lying too? Kathy, I am not telling you everything I know. I would never do that in a way that would be harsh and cruel. And, you know, assumptive. You would be led astray by telling you everything I know. And everything that I know is constantly changing. So when you want to know something, it could be obsolete in 10 or 15 minutes. So, yeah, you know, is this radio program a lie? You could say it is. You could say it isn't. I it's up to you and, you know, the clarity of your own mind. All right, let's go. Are there such things as good lies? I think they're called white lies. It depends on the situation. It's best not to say anything. It would be honest to say, I don't know. Now, if you can say, I don't know, when you think you do know, that might be helpful. Because, like I say, any given thing that you say or believe or think could change and become obsolete at any moment. Situations, circumstances enter into some condition, and now the whole thing has changed. The whole dimension has changed. Everything has changed. Start to look at it from another point of view. And then the next thing you know, what you thought was absolutely true, you realize now has flaws in it, and yada, yada, yada. So, I don't know is a very good way of answering so many things. I just don't know. And there are things I don't know, and I like telling people, I don't know. But oftentimes, they'll ask me questions that I can't explain to them relative to their mental acuity and their genetic disposition, and I have to look at them and lie and say, I don't know. And the truth is, if I told them the truth, it would be more detrimental to them than if I didn't. And I am looking to help people, not to harm them. Now, that is the white lie. And I have found that life presents this to me as well as a person. There are many things that, you know, we want to know about, but we are just not privy to know because of the way we think and where we think from, our mental acuity, our genetics. Our genetics are, they're a mess. If you knew the tangled web we weave with our genetics, you would realize there is nothing of accuracy in there or would appreciate any kind of accuracy. So you start to look at, you know, what is the truth my mind can accept? That's a big one. What is the truth, Kathy, your mind can accept? How far can that go? What if you learned that everything you ever believed in, thought, based your life upon, was not true? How would you deal with that? How would you live with that? I don't think that would be easy for you to assume. And I think it would be very, very difficult. And I think you would have a great struggle there. Most people do. So it's relative to where you're at within yourself. The intelligent person deals with the truth and allows it to deal with them. Okay? The smart person doesn't deal with the truth. It just makes opinions about it. The smart person is more interested in defending their position than they are in the truth of where they're actually at. And that's a total, you know, change. I gotta go. I'm running out of time. I would like to go into this further. Maybe one day we will. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, Kathy, and those of you who listen. Namaste.